Okay, people, Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh my God!
I'm on my f***ing lunch break, okay?
Merry Christmas!
When Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's gonna find the jolliest bunch of a**s this side of the nut house.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
The time has come for all grit grinders alike to tune into the boys as they spit fire through the mic. That means Noodles and O-Dog and Haze are your hosts for Overdrive's first annual advent calendar that's grittier than most. We'll have hot takes and lists and friends of the show. So strap on a holiday feed bag and let that boiler grow.
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
All right, so we've been doing the advent calendar for 1 week.
Yep.
A successful first week. I think we've learned a little bit. I think we will continue to grow with the advent calendar. We're into week two. We've got this week and next. We're going to have some recurring themes. As we get further into the month, we're going to start looking ahead to 2018.
Yep.
Sometimes we get reflective. We look back on the year that was. Let's see what's behind door number six.
On this, the sixth day of the Overdrive Advent Calendar, I present to you a look back on 2017 and what we've learned.
What we've learned from 2017, a crazy year in the world.
Yeah.
Politics and...
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that. But
oh, yeah.
The sports world's been pretty wild, too.
You want me to kick this off for 2017?
Feel free to
take it. I have three items. The first item I have is Atkins Shapiro. I really don't know if they know what direction or what they want to do going forward. And they certainly don't give the fan base or media any indication of what that is. It's like, do you want to sign Donaldson? You claimed last year you want to get younger, more competitive, athletic, faster. You didn't do that. You've got some contracts that are looming over your heads. I don't know what the hell you're doing, and I have no idea what you're up to. That's my first item. It's like, I really don't know where your headspace is at.
And I don't think the fans, what I've learned in 2017, is they're not letting anything go with these two. The majority of them, anyway. I mean, there are some that support them and support whatever the vision
well,
is.
Well, I think there's a dislike forming. What are you guys all about?
I think a lot of that was planted when they first got here unfairly because of who they took over from and where they came from. Coming from Cleveland, taking over for two Canadians in Beeston and Anthopoulos put them in a tough spot.
I know, but
spot.
It's like Anthopoulos was this young guy with the beard that was like, pull the trigger on big deals and make things happen. It was like, hey, that's our guy.
The young guy with the beard, as if that makes
sense.
Seriously,
like it was the young guy, like that's how I knew him. Like that little guy, he just makes things happen. He doesn't even look like a baseball executive, but you know what? He pulled the trigger on some major deals, right or wrong.
And got them back to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years.
My second thing is just, and I gripe about William Nylander and Austin Matthews having personal success, and I'm buying into what Mike Babcock, as painful as his message can be, but he just wants to win every game 2-1. You've seen what he's done with World Cups and Olympics with the most talented people in the world, and you saw it last night against the Oilers. It's like, this guy, he does not care. And I'm just starting to say, forget about the personal stats. This guy just wants to win. He always says, you know, it's 2-1 or 3-2, 1-0. That's all he wants.
Well, you know how much pride he probably takes in them being 5-0 without Matthews?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I'll bet you he's got like
Hugh Howard burgered up for another gong show of a...
I saw that tweet. I kind of chuckled to myself.
Old Howie spicing things up behind the scenes.
Spicy meatball.
My last one is Jack Eichel in Buffalo. They are god-awful, and he is nowhere close to being McDavid or Matthews. It's like, this guy is paid like it. He held the organization to the fire saying, I'm behind that guy, so pay me. It's like, you're not even close.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to watch them live tomorrow.
Well, good luck with that, but he's not that guy.
That could be a doozy of a game.
He was 11th in point per game last year. Just not doing it this year. He's still getting points. They're just their team stinks.
Ottawa, Buffalo on a Tuesday night.
And a bunch of snow coming.
Ooh. It's coming outside here in Toronto. I mean, you saw that Bills game yesterday.
Yeah. All right, I got a 2-pack. I didn't go 3-pack.
Okay, whatever you got.
What I learned in 2017 is that an expansion team in hockey can actually compete right away. which none of us saw that.
Well, the host said, no way, they're last, they're the worst.
I fully admit.
But we all did. I was in the same boat. I didn't think they were going to be god-awful, but I didn't think they were going to be a team that's, I mean, playoff bound.
Like, we're talking about the Leafs. Put this into perspective. I just said that stat earlier. The Leafs, third quickest in team history. They've been around for 100 years. Third quickest to 20 wins. 20 wins in 31 games is the third fastest they've ever done that. The Vegas Golden Knights have 19 wins in 29 games.
Yeah.
They could get, if they win their next two games, they're going to get to 21 in the first 31. The Leafs,
yeah.
I don't even know if they've ever done that in 100 years.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's amazing what Vegas has done.
All right, and so it is. We got to give them love and props because of what they've done. And so far, it's working in Vegas. Like, the fan base, everyone's excited. So that's what I learned. Second, this is my seventh year in Toronto. For the first 5.5, I witnessed, I mean, the Jays had a little bit of run, the Argos, but there wasn't a lot of championship talk and positivity. Look at what's happened in the last week and a half, 10 days, and where the Leafs are at. Like, there's some good
positivity.
Positivity and trending. And when Niwicki was talking about parade routes, he's got two.
Dude, they actually
whether
were
he
planning
planned
parades
or not.
Here.
So it's a time to believe if you're in this city. That's what I've learned
I'm
in 2017.
With you on that, man.
And I moved out here, I think, in 2011 or
you've been here for 7 years. I've been here for 34. I can't remember outside of the World Series wins when the Leafs were going on those runs. Like the past 10 years, there was 6-7 years of just pitch black darkness.
Well,
disgusting.
I was here for the darkness. A little bit.
You rolled in for the darkness. The Raps were brutal. The Leafs were terrible.
Yeah.
The Argos, no one was showing up. TFC, like I said earlier, with all that darkness, they were the biggest punchline of them all because every year it was like, no, this is the year we'll get it together. 6 wins, fire the coach, fire the GM. Now this is the year we're going to do it. 8 wins, fire the coach, fire the GM.
David Miller getting rid of his tickets.
David Miller saying, I'm out of here. I'm not doing it. I like that. All right, I've got a couple of rapid fires that I'll throw out there, and you guys can comment as we go along. With that theme being said, what I learned is that Larry Tannenbaum can actually own a team that wins a title.
There
because he's owned or partially owned the Leafs and Raptors for a long time and TFC since their inception. And he's won 2 titles in like 2 weeks. And he was getting a shout out at the parade today.
Well, he should.
Bell and Rogers got booed and Larry Tannenbaum was getting his name chanted. I did not see that coming. Winning the lottery can really pay off. McDavid and Matthews in 2017. One wins the MVP in the Ted Lindsay. The other one almost unanimously wins the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
You had to be in a really dark place to get there, but if you win the lottery and those two players are waiting for you, good spot to be in.
And for all those people that said, oh, it's McDavid that's going to win the cup before Matthews, be careful about that comment because that doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon.
I thought Edmonton had a good weekend, but it's too late for moral victories. We said that like a week and a half ago.
But that's the thing. They're a better team than their record show. Like, if you guys saw that game last night. They're a better team than their record. It doesn't matter. Wins and losses matter.
They're also, Jamie, creeping into a territory where you're not better than your record. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I
understand their goalie's out, but you get into January, the end of January, it's like you are at where you're at.
Yeah, but that's why you play the games. But it's
well, still. I thought last night, I thought they played well. I thought it was the McDavid show.
Yeah.
It was McDavid that was so unbelievably dominant. And then the rest of the team was kind of there with him.
Jujhar Kara was really good.
I thought Kara was very good last night.
I thought so. I thought so, really.
I thought he was good.
He's a great skater.
He's a big boy and he can move up and down the wall. Kevin Durant got the last laugh. He got crucified on his way out of Oklahoma City.
Do you think that's the last laugh, though?
I think so. He got a title. He won the MVP in the NBA Finals. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but like he's despised there.
He is in Oklahoma City. I think he's pretty happy living in the Bay Area.
But people think that he took the easy way out to just go and be.
Brendan Shanahan's hated in Hartford too, but guess what he did the first year he went to Detroit?
And I think even with Houston doing what they're doing right now, Boston doing what they're doing, Steph Curry's injured.
Yeah.
Who honestly thinks Golden State isn't going to win again this year? Let's be serious. No lead is safe. 28-3 will hang over Atlanta forever.
Yeah, that was
28-3 will hang over Atlanta forever.
And their coaching staff.
LeVar Ball is the most annoying parent in pro sports history.
We
had never heard of this guy in 2016. And in 2017, LeVar Ball came onto the radar, and now he can't leave her life. We can't stop. And the media can't get enough of him.
I want him to.
No, he'll stop.
You don't, but I do.
He's going to go away at some point, but I don't know when.
I don't know when either.
He'll cross the line. That's what's going to happen. Like, he'll get in a fist fight or something like that.
That would be interesting. He tees up, like, Luke Walton, the head coach, like, suckers him on the in the back
like something,
of the Staples Center.
I feel like that guy is a ticking time bomb. Like, I think he's close to getting involved in something that...
It's interesting. I think there's more calculation to it. I do.
You think he's smarter than
I think he's smarter than you think. Like, he puts on the show, and he does what he does, and then I it wouldn't shock me if you met him off camera, and you're like, actually, he's kind of a charming guy, and...
And... He says to you, watch what I'm going to do today.
Right. Like, it's a wrestling maneuver for him.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go on camera and I'm going to cause a stir.
That's actually a great point. And if that's the case, then he's a genius. But mm-hmm. He's such a villain.
He really is. He's a parent villain. And the last thing we learned is that we're all suckers for Floyd Mayweather.
Yes.
That if this guy's in the ring, we're going to complain that it's going to be a boring fight. We're going to complain that it's going to be a predictable finish. And we're going to pay and watch.
Well, you can throw the other guy in there, too, can't you?
McGregor's a part of that, too. And today, word came out, Pacquiao and McGregor are working on a super fight in 2018. And guess what? I will be watching.
They got my $100 last time.
I paid for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, even though I knew what was going to happen. And I paid for the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Actually, I didn't pay. I was in the car on the way home from a wedding.
Are you telling me McGregor's fighting Pacquiao now?
That's where it's going. And there are rumors out there that De La Hoya is going to come out of retirement to fight McGregor. Because they all want a piece of an easy fight with a big payday. And that's
come on.
Why does McGregor want to do that other than just money, right?
He's getting paid. What does he care? He'll probably never fight in the UFC again. Like, Dana White's already said, I'm not sure this guy's going to
fight. Be a sideshow.
Well,
you're going to make a lot more doing these super fights than you will at the UFC.
I guess.